Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to Matthew's Gospel. Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse 44. This is God's Word. "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things?" Jesus asked. "Yes," they replied. He said to them, "Therefore, every teacher of the law who has been instructed about the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old." When Jesus had finished these parables, he moved on from there. Coming to his hometown, he began teaching the people in their synagogue, and they were amazed. "Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers?" they asked. "Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? And aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? Aren't all his sisters with us? Where did this man get these things?" And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, "Only in his hometown and in his own house is a prophet without honor. And he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Again, Jesus tells a series of parables. And even though when he says, "Do you understand all these things?" they say, "Yes." Clearly, many did not understand. Even Jesus' disciples would repeatedly have to ask him for the explanation. So we begin with the story of a man who discovers a treasure out in a field. Now, what was he doing out in the field? Well, he was looking for treasure. No, he was probably plowing somebody else's field. It's not his field. He's working in a field that belongs to somebody else. Is this a wealthy man or a poor man? This is a poor man. So he's plowing along and he hits a rock and he picks it up and he throws it to the side and he plows a little further. It's a very stony area. He plows a little further, he hits another rock, he picks it up, moves it to the side. It's kind of like East Tennessee. Plows a little further, hits another rock, he picks it up, throws it to the side, and then all of a sudden, he hits something, and when he goes to move it, it's like, whoa, this isn't a rock. This is a box. And he looks at it, and there's treasure in it. And so this guy covers it back up and goes and says to his wife, "We got to sell everything. I mean, all of it. He says, what are you talking about? I have found something that is worth more than everything we've got by far. Now, I don't know what you would think if your spouse came to you and said, we're going to sell everything we have, everything. I don't know how you'd feel about that. But let me tell you something. This guy went filled with joy and sold all he had and bought that field. Why? Because what was in that field was going to change his life. What was in that field was worth more than everything else he had. And so he was willing to give up everything to get that. Jesus says, that's like the kingdom of heaven. And then he tells another story about a man who wasn't a poor man. He was a wealthy man. He was a collector. He was a merchant looking for fine pearls. He found one pearl that wasn't just worth more than his other pearls, it was worth more than everything he had. More than everything he had. And so what did he do? He sold everything he had and bought that one pearl. Now, if you were to take the monetary value of all the possessions of the guy who collects fine pearls versus the monetary value of the guy who has to plow other people's fields for a living, if you were to take those two estates and distill them down to a dollar amount, what they were able to sell them for, do you suppose it'd be about the same amount? No way. If you want to follow Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. It doesn't matter if you're young or old. It doesn't matter if you're educated or undereducated. It'll cost you everything. It will cost you everything. You want to know what the lesson for the first part of this lesson is? Following Jesus will cost you everything. But if you're willing to give everything, you can receive him. You don't have to be rich. You don't have to be poor. You don't have to be young. You don't have to be old. But whatever you have, it'll cost you everything. And Jesus said, you've got to be willing to leave father, mother, brother, sister, children, houses, land, even your own life. Everything. If you're going to follow Jesus, you've got to be willing to lay it all down. It's all his. I'm not keeping anything back and saying, well, this is mine. You can't have this. Everything belongs to him. That's the only way to enter the kingdom. Jesus talks about it as being born again. It is a new beginning. It is new birth. You pass from death to life. You come out of this kingdom into the other kingdom. And the next story Jesus tells talks about fish. The net hauls up all different kinds of fish. The fishermen sit down and they go through the fish. And they're the good ones. And there are the discards. There's not a third pile, is there? Let me tell you something. When it comes to the kingdom of God, you either receive Jesus or you don't. You either trust him or you're still trying to run your own life. You either yield yourself to him or you try and get God to yield to you. You cannot have it both ways. The kingdom means that he's the king. He's the boss. He's the owner. He's the ruler. And if you want to be a part of that, it'll cost you everything. But you better decide, because you're either in or you're out. You're either a follower of Jesus or you're not. That's why Joshua said in the Old Testament, if you're not willing to serve the God who is God, then choose this day whom you will serve. Because you see, you will end up serving somebody. You will end up staking your life on something. For a lot of people, it's pleasure. Doing what feels good in the moment. Yeah, I'm just doing what feels right to me. Okay? How does a cross feel? Not so good. Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me. You can't go by how it feels. You got to go by what he says. So I want to ask you again. Are you in or are you out? What if the guy who found that treasure in the field said, boy, I don't know. I better think about this. What if I sell everything and I come back and the treasure's gone? Let me see if I can get an option to buy. Maybe we could just rent the field and then build up some more assets so we don't have to sell everything in order to buy it. It's not the way it works. If you want the treasure, it'll cost you everything. So I want to ask you again. I'm going to keep asking. When you find that treasure, when you realize, oh my goodness, this is the real thing. This changes everything. Are you willing to give up everything? Because that's what Jesus says is required. Again, two people from completely different circumstances, totally different stations in life, both of them found the same thing. It costs all I have. If I were to ask you, what have you got?
I don't have anything. I mean, I've got a few ranch bucks saved up, but I don't really have anything.
You don't have anything? What about your talents? Your abilities? Not just how you use them, but that you use them. Are you willing to take what God has given you and put it to work in obedience to him? What about your mind? You may not be the brightest bulb in the chandelier, but you can still shine. What are you going to do with the intellect God gave you? Are you going to use it for him? Is it going to change the way that you study so that you work hard in school because you want to be the best that you can be for the glory of God? I know a guy, I was thinking about him this morning. He's the only blind person to have climbed Mount Everest. Okay, that's pretty impressive. There aren't that many people who've climbed Mount Everest. He's the only one who did it blind. Amazing, isn't it? Wow. Really motivated. What would you do for God? I don't think that young man did what he did for God. He did it for himself. We have more reason to discipline ourselves and work hard and accomplish things than anybody else on the planet. Because our lives have been redeemed by the Lord. But you got to be willing to give everything to him to do what he says. You can't say, well, I'm willing to follow Jesus, but, you know, let's go slow. You know, slow down, Jesus. I'd like to rest a while. Jesus says, come to me and I'll give you rest. But it's not the kind of rest that involves just a beanbag chair. You need to get in the yoke with Jesus and press on and do what he's called you to do. It'll cost you everything. But you're either in or you're out.
Hi, this is Pastor Jim Wood of Abiding in Christ. Living in the mountains of East Tennessee, I'm surrounded by phenomenal beauty in every season of the year. My wife and I live on a mountainside that adjoins the Great Smoky Mountains National Park, the most popular, most visited of all the national parks in the USA. Our neighbors include bears and bobcats, foxes and raccoons, even possums and skunks. Just down the hill from our house is the beautiful campus of Ware's Valley Ranch, a miraculous place where God is busy changing lives from the inside out. On this program, you'll hear interviews, monologues, but mostly you'll hear the expository preaching that I do here at the ranch. Because I'm often speaking to a room full of children, you may occasionally hear background noises or illustrations and vocabulary chosen for a child's frame of reference. But the one thing I pray you will hear every time is God's Word, the eternal, inerrant Word which points us to Jesus. I'm delighted to partner with this station in bringing these messages to you, and I'd like to get to know you better as you get to know us. Please visit us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. Click on the link that says Contact Us and let us hear from you. We'd love to know the station where you listen. And feel free to share any prayer requests as well. We actually do pray for the specific requests that folks send us, and we love hearing how God answers those prayers. Again, the website is pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
When Jesus had finished these parables, he moved on from there, and coming to his hometown, he began teaching people in their synagogue. And they were amazed. The first response to Jesus is, wow! Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers, they asked. Where did he get those miraculous powers? Doing what the Father said. Where did he get the wisdom? He only said what the Father told him to say. But they didn't stop there. They were amazed. They asked a good question. But then they continued to think and talk. Familiarity breeds contempt. They said, isn't this a carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? And aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? Aren't all his sisters with us? See, Mary had other children, by the way. But these people, they said, we know his family. And they took offense at him. What? How could they possibly be offended? They were amazed by the miracles, and they were amazed by his wisdom, and now their nose is out of joint. They're upset. Because Jesus is talking to them as if he's God's son or something. Jesus was crucified for blasphemy. That was the charge that the Jews made against him. Why blasphemy? Because he claimed to be equal with God, son of God, putting himself on a level with God, acting as if he is God, God incarnate. Guess what? Jesus is God incarnate. He is the very Son of God. And so what was upsetting to them was the truth. Did you know there are still a lot of people today who are upset by the truth? They're fine if you tell them lies. But if you tell them the truth, they're angry. They don't want to know the truth. Jesus said, this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and men preferred the darkness because their deeds are evil. That's what's going on here. Initially, they're wowed, they're impressed, they're amazed. But then they start to think, and their thinking goes completely in the wrong direction. They say, we know his family. And Jesus responds, only in his hometown, get the next phrase, and in his own house is a prophet without honor. Why didn't these people take Jesus as the Messiah? Because they knew his family. And his own family was not treating him as God's son. You remember when Jesus wouldn't come outdoors? When Mary and the brothers showed up to take him under their wing because they thought he'd lost his mind? When that's the attitude of the family, the outsiders outside the family are not going to take the Lord seriously. Guess what? If we are Christians, we are the family. But the way we respond to the Lordship of Jesus Christ sends a message to a watching world about whether or not he really is Lord. Jesus was not just dishonored in his hometown, he was dishonored in his hometown and in his own house. In his own house, he was a prophet without honor. They didn't like traveling all that way and being stood up. They didn't like the idea that Jesus was unlike the rest of them in the family. He was special. Have you ever, I mean, you guys, none of you have siblings, do you? I know you do. Do you ever feel like mom and dad favor somebody else over you? You ever feel that way? You ever feel your nose out of joint a little bit because you don't get the breaks, you're held to a different standard? And does it ever bug you that others in the family are treated different? Imagine. Just imagine for a minute that you were Jesus' brother or you were Jesus' sister and mom was always talking about Jesus. Would it bug you a little bit? Would you say, okay, I know he's got some talents, but he's not all that great? Would it bother you that mom and dad act as if he never does anything wrong? Guess what? He never did anything wrong. He never did anything wrong. I had a lady who told me that I said one thing in a marriage conference that saved her marriage. She said, because I had to ask, I said, what was it? She said, you were talking about how our mate's faults can really get under our skin. And you said, but just imagine how much worse it would be if you had to live with somebody who was perfect. And she said, I got to thinking about that and I thought, yeah, that would be worse. Imagine if you're always the one who's wrong. And they're always the one who's right. That would really get old. Well, Jesus' siblings didn't enjoy his perfection. He was always right. Can you imagine? I mean, how are you going to argue with perfection? Well, I've always thought, well, that's not the way it is. Well, you just act like you know everything. He does. But you see, their response to Jesus poisoned it for other people. How's the church doing at communicating to the world that Jesus is perfect? And that he is enough, and that we're willing to lay it all down and follow him no matter what it costs us. If we don't send the right message, the world is likely to not believe. So, he did not do many miracles there. because of their lack of faith. I wonder if that may be why some of us don't see more miracles today. Is it that we don't trust Him? If you want to see miracles, do whatever He tells you. Just do whatever He tells you. But understand, following Jesus will cost you everything.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.